Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another, I think this is episode number 12, so we are at a dozen of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila, and here we're talking about spaghetti sauce and the custom t-shirt business.
This is by far my favorite title so far. I mean, because, and we have to tell the story here. Really, Mark and I, we struggle sometimes with the finding the best material to educate you guys and something that will really impact your business. After all, you're cutting out part of your day to listen to us yammer at you about custom apparel and general business. So this was inspired by a TED Talk that I've watched at least a dozen times by Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, if you don't know who Malcolm Gladwell is, or you haven't read any of his books or seen him speak, I'm just going to recommend it, especially if you're in small business, if you're in the business world, it's inspirational. The first book that I'd picked up was probably 2004, 2005, Blink.
Blink was great.
Yeah, and he just talks about making decisions, how people can make decisions, like in this Blink.
Right.
And so he's an inspirational person to listen to and read, and I say that most anybody in business would pick up his books, read something, put it down, and have a new idea or new outlook on their business.
I absolutely agree. And he was at this TED Talk. They invited him to speak. And if you are not familiar with TED, I'm going to say go to TED.com and start exploring. But he did this TED Talk called Choice, Happiness, and Spaghetti Sauce, where he talks about one of his idols whose name is Howard Moskowitz,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my favorite names.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Definitely. And Howard was I can't remember his title because it's a science that no one else has ever heard of, but basically food manufacturers would hire him to try to figure out what the ideal flavor set or brand of food was. So, for example, he talked to Pepsi about what's the perfect Pepsi. He talked to Prego spaghetti sauce about what's the perfect spaghetti sauce. And the results really have changed the way marketing is done in the food space and can have a real impact on what we do as apparel decorators.
Yeah, and the one thing that he says is about spaghetti sauce specifically was the traditional spaghetti sauce was
ragu.
And it was just a thin, plain, just simple sauce.
Right.
And that's what we need to deliver people, the traditional spaghetti sauce, what a sauce is. And that I grew up in an Italian family. That's the spaghetti sauce that my mother made, was just like that. Was that how he described it? And then talking about going in and offering other options.
Right. So Prego hired Mr. Moskowitz to find out, because they were the number two brand, but in the 70s, Ragu was just kicking their butt, just because Ragu means sauce in Italian, so they had that going for them. But Prego said, so, you know, what's the perfect sauce we need to compete with? And what he did was he made dozens of different sauce variations. And he took those sauce variations on the road and had people do a taste test. And he put in chunky and spicy and less tomatoey and more tomatoey and just like every little variation that you could think of and had people taste.
And with that, he also talks about how there isn't a right one, that they thought there was a right one, that the right one was the quote-unquote traditional one.
Right.
And that's the one that you're supposed to have and like and people want. But as soon as he started bringing other variations in, then we realized that the tastes of everybody is different. There is no right taste.
Right. And it's clustered, too. So what everyone expected him to find was this kind of bell curve. So, like, 10 people would like it not sweet, and 500 would like it really sweet, and 10 would like it extremely sweet. And so there'd be a nice clear cluster, but what he found was that wasn't the case. When he looked at the data, he found there were groups of people that liked it in many different ways. So his answer to Pepsi and his answer to Prego and kind of our suggestion to you out of all this is, you know, there's not the perfect Pepsis. There's not the one perfect spaghetti sauces. You know, it's the plural of those.
Yeah, and what else is really interesting is he mentions coffee for a moment.
You're right.
And there, and that's how he starts it. And what I think about with that is what people think they like versus what people like, or what people would say they like versus what they really like. And I've got thoughts on how this applies to the apparel industry, but to go to the example is that who here likes something to effect of like rich and robust and a dark, you know, rich roasty coffee, and everyone would raise their hand and say that's what I like. And he said, well, in reality, most people like creamy, weak coffee.
When they did the taste test, that's what they found. Like, what people say they like and what they actually end up liking are two different things. And it was the same thing with the spaghetti sauce, which is why we have chunky spaghetti sauce, is because no one has ever asked for chunky. But when it was offered to them, a significant portion of the population ended up liking that the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's something that wasn't even being offered in the market. It's like Starbucks recently, over the past year or so, just started offering a blonde roast. And that's because there are a lot of people that like the strong taste of different Starbucks coffees. But there's a big population that will say that, but they actually really want something weak and something a little bit lighter in color and not quite as strong.
Yeah, not as robust. And so I find all of that stuff fascinating, and I think a lot of it applies to our industry.
Right.
And so I guess the first thing to talk about is the rules or the what are you supposed to do in apparel decorating. So what do you feel is the right way to do things might not necessarily be the right way to do things, because there isn't always
a right way. Right, there are multiple right ways.
Yeah,
that,
there are
that's really
right ways.
So it's really the number one lesson that I really took away from this, and all of you are guilty of this, I hope, because I know I am, and that's just offering customers what you like.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal, especially in apparel decorating. You know, if you, for example, you do rhinestones, you know, you may only like rose rhinestones. You may only like the SS16 big rhinestones. You may only like, you know, a certain color or combination or style of design. So when a customer calls you and asks for, I need a cheerleading design for my kid's school, then you're going to give them what you like.
Yeah, and that comes down to, like you mentioned, the variations in the colors. We have customers come in and they look at the chart and they say, I think that the Cosmos Jet looks awesome. And I don't understand, like, the Black Jet.
Right.
You know, which are two different colors of stones. However, if they make the decision for their customer, they might not necessarily, for one being, deliver exactly what their customer likes, and somebody else might. Now, might they over that little color of rhinestones? You know, they might not lose customers over that. However, you need to go to your customers and say, here are two options we could
do
in the black.
Because they may not know. So let's say that you are the person, and even if you're doing DTG, and somebody sends you a design that they'd like printed, and you print it and hand it back to them. Basically, you're letting them just buy Ragu. You know, because it's what they ask for, it's what's on the shelf, it's what they expect. But they may not know any better, and it's up to you, and it will be more profitable if you offer them more options.
Yeah, and it works both ways. It's a double-edged sword, because on the other hand, they might hand you a piece of artwork, and you might look at that and say, these colors
are terrible.
Who would wear this?
How many different shades of brown are there, for God's sake?
Who would wear this? But if they love it, and the group that they are representing, you know, a club or an organization, loves the logo and loves the colors and loves the design, especially if they're in a different culture or subset of a culture than you, if they love it, then make it for them. Just because you don't love it doesn't mean that somebody else doesn't.
Yeah, remember, it's not what you like, you know, but then again, don't let your customer get away with just the ragu.
Yeah.
You know, at every opportunity, because just like Howard Moskowitz found out, you know, they may not even know that they want chunky. And if you can introduce somebody to something that they love, but they weren't aware of, like you truly introduce them to something, then you've got a fan. You just don't have a customer. you know, they'll look at you differently than they will every other vendor.
I think a real-world example is in the custom t-shirt business. Somebody's going to call you up and say, I want 25 t-shirts with this on it. And you're going to say, okay, did you have color in mind, a style in mind? There's just a t-shirt, probably blue.
Right.
And you're going to say, okay, great, I can do that. That's easy. You know, if you have the opportunity to meet with them and you have a few samples of some blue shirts would be better if you had specific of those, but just samples of styles, and bring it to them and say, look, this comes in a crew neck. This comes in a V-neck.
Yeah.
This comes, like, this is a little bit more of like an organic cotton material. Feel this one. This is just your standard, inexpensive pre-shrunk. And let them get a feel for the different flavors that there are out there of the shirts. And they might pick that organic cotton one and say, wow, this feels... I didn't even know that... I buy organic tomato sauce. but I didn't know I could buy an organic t-shirt.
Right.
And you might not even realize that you just found a niche and a love that customer already has. It says the word organic. They love it already because they buy organic foods. And then they see they could buy an organic t-shirt. And it's something that when you're marking it up, you could possibly make more money on. And they didn't know that was an option, like you just said.
Yeah.
Like, you've earned a fan. You've earned somebody who's like, wow, this is awesome.
So what we're talking about is kind of offering variations. And this is especially important if you're just a single method decorator. So if you're only a screen printer, or if you just do rhinestones, or if you only do DTG, then it's going to be important for you to offer variations. And this really brings me to a discussion that takes place all the time, and I'm going to plug our Facebook group. If you are a Facebooker, join us at Custom Apparel Startups. And it's full of people that do just what we do and what you guys do. But the common conversation is there, you know, how do I do my pricing? There's somebody new in town that's pricing lower than I am. I can't seem to make money in this business. You know, we hear that kind of thing all the time. And I can guarantee what's happening is that someone will call up and ask for, hey, can you give me a price on 50 medium and large shirts with this design on it? And the business person says yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they give them a price. Well, of course, the only decision that you've given them to make is this one cheaper than that one?
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be the person that offers the variation, that offers him more than one kind of spaghetti sauce. So the variation on the blanks is a really important one, because a lot of people will just put it on the cheapest t-shirt possible. What Mark said is absolutely true. Somebody comes in saying, you know, I'm really interested in a bunch of V-neck shirts for a running club. And you say, well, okay, V-neck shirts for a running club, that makes perfect sense. I can definitely do that. Have you thought about a long sleeve V-neck for the fall?
Yeah.
You know, have you thought about a hoodie to go over the V-neck that I can do, you know, the same? So what you're doing is you're offering the extra chunky, you know, and that's important to do with every single customer that contacts you. You know, if you're a single method apparel decorator, it's finding, you know, giving them those options that they'll have the opportunity to love.
Yeah, and that's, I think that when you just said something there, it really keyed in when I had been in sales before, because equipment sales, then I also sold for real estate services, and people would call up and say, what's your fee? How much does this machine cost?
Right.
And the rule was, which I hated this rule for myself anyway, because whenever I would call, I would want to find out a price. I just want somebody to just give me a price or an estimate or a quick range.
Yeah.
But the thing is you immediately make it about the price when you do that.
Right.
So the rule was that I'm not going to answer any price questions until they answer a few questions for me. And I have to explain that to them in a reasonable way. So somebody calls up and says, how much to do 100 shirts? Okay, now, you know you can't answer that question already, okay, because front and back, long sleeve, short sleeve, you know, cotton, polyester, there's all these other variables.
Yeah, what do you want me to do to the shirts?
Yeah, what do you want me to do to them? But beyond that, I think you need to help the customer, try to get a consultation if you can, try to get them to come into your store, try to set a meeting if you can, because that's in, especially if it seems like it's a big enough order.
Right.
You know, because that's the opportunity you have to, say, give them a whole menu and offer them a menu, get things in their hands, get a feel for who they are, try to find out, do they like the idea of the organic? But if you can't get the meeting, even make the meeting on the phone then. So find out, try to find those things. Say, okay, great, it's for a running club. Do you run year-round? And that's where you just go into the hoodie and the long sleeve. And then one thing is, since we're talking about spaghetti, I'm going to say, like, look for Parmesan cheese add-on, too.
Right, that's it.
But I also, just by the way, I also do hats. It's a minimum of 10. You said you're ordering 50 shirts, so it's a small number. Do you think 10 or 12 of those people might want some hats that match? I could do that pretty easily. And there's your opportunity to add Parmesan. Not everybody on the table is going to want Parmesan cheese added to their spaghetti.
Right.
However, you might get a portion of it, and there's an upsell.
I like that. And especially with something like, you know, if you do vinyl or you do DTG, or especially if you do embroidery, those are really reasonable and helpful things to offer, you know, because they may be looking for caps and did not realize that they could do that in the same phone call as well. So that's definitely, you know, a chunky and Parmesan kind of conversation that you can have. So the other thing that you can do, other than offer variations within, you know, different blanks we talked about, different garments we talked about, which kind of goes under blanks. You could also talk about design options itself. You know, I mean, we touched a little bit on that, but I don't want to get away from the fact that, especially in rhinestones and spangles, and even in vinyl, actually, you can offer designs that are just an outline. You can offer designs that are filled. You can offer designs that are a combination of two different methodologies. And as a matter of fact, that's the next thing in my notes, is different methods that you can offer if you have the capability.
Yeah, and the other thing, that also comes down to the price. I think, too, if we circle back to that a little bit, because if somebody is asking specifically for, I just need T-shirts. I need 25 of them. I need 100 of them. Well, you maybe have a DTG, and you might have a vinyl cutter. So now you have two options to sell them. So that's where it comes deeper into it. Well, which one's going to cost you more in time, in supplies? What's the purpose of the shirt? What are they going to be doing with that? And that's where it really comes down to getting all of those questions asked to the customer and then offering it and say, well, I could do this in a moisture wick, and then I could do this. I could take that design and I could put it like this on a hoodie, and I could take this other design and put it like this on the T-shirt. This one's DTG, this one's vinyl. I think it all mixes together.
And here's what's great, and it's the spaghetti sauce lesson. Just because I really like to stay spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, okay.
There's something about it. Is that, you know, within a few years of the change that Prego made, they were by far the number one brand of spaghetti sauce on the market.
There's still Prego Ragu versus Ragu commercials.
There are.
I saw one not even a week ago. And I was blown away because I don't watch a ton of TV because I'm always doing something geeky.
Productive.
Typically, or,
right.
I wouldn't say productive, but geeky. And so when I saw that, I was blown away because I remember from like 25 years ago seeing those commercials.
Yeah. And I don't know, like maybe we should have a show of hands. I'm a Prego guy. If I buy spaghetti sauce, it's Prego. I don't know anybody that buys Ragu. I don't associate with this. So, I mean, we're talking about a lot of things here, but the main thing is not to, you know, if you're following our advice so far, our suggestions so far, and you have different methods and you've got different locations and you've got, you know, different blanks to offer, remember you're not trying to get them down into the point where you're just offering one thing. So you're not using these what we call qualifying questions. Are you running, you know, all year round? You know, in the end, you're not going to end up with offering them just a long sleeve V-neck polo with a left chest logo. That's not your goal, is to narrow things down. Your goal is to offer them a variety of different sauce and see which one they pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get a cluster of customers that kind of pick the same things, then you know that, man, I should be advertising this V-neck hoodie with rhinestones on the back and vinyl on the front and something on the cuff.
Yeah,
you know, you could end up with these clusters of customers.
It's the that's where the power of data is.
Right.
And I know that in an industry where you are the business owner, you run the books, you do the sales, and you do the production, or you might only have a handful of employees. You don't have somebody dedicated to reviewing the data. That's when it's important to take this information and put it somewhere.
Yeah.
However you can organize it, but just even if it's as simple as an Excel spreadsheet, but and however you do it, but start paying attention. Don't go by memory.
Right.
Don't go by memory because you're not going to remember the right thing. People don't remember the right things. They remember what they think they remember is the right thing. So write it down and keep track. Which shirt do I order the most? Which one do people pick the most? When it comes down to pricing, when people are looking for the cheapest, they pick this shirt. When people are looking for the best quality, they pick this shirt. And when I offer these three extra options, let's say hoodie, yeah, hat, long, yeah, sleeve, the hoodie is picked, the most.
The most.
Now you know, this is my most popular cheap shirt. This is my most popular luxury shirt. This is my most popular add-on. And then tell other people that as well, because we also can't forget that beyond all of this is the power of influence of others.
Yeah.
So if you say to your customer, well, no, if they say, I don't think I need anything else, I just need the shirts. And you'd say, okay, great. And then you go with the conversation, then come back to it and say, and by the way, I know you were saying you just wanted shirts, but most people add like a dozen hats on just because it's one of those things and it's not that much more right. money. Do you think you would, do you want me to give you the price?
So here, because we're talking a lot of sales stuff. So let's break it down into like just a couple of to-dos.
Okay, perfect.
When you do this. So you are going to offer, if you are a single method decorator, you're going to offer a variety of blanks. And you're going to keep track of when somebody picks a different blank, other than the standard t-shirt. Mm-hmm. So if it's a hoodie, if it's a long sleeve, whatever it is. Because remember, you're adding price and value to this. So somebody's going to spend more money with you and you're going to make more profit if they buy a hoodie versus a $2 t-shirt.
Okay? Yes. And they're going to be more satisfied.
They're going to be happier, right. So you're going to keep track of that. And if you get a nice order in a particularly good, product area, make an extra one and keep it in the shop. Or take a picture of it and put it online. And that will be one of the flavors of Prego that you put on this shelf with the other spaghettis for people to choose from. If somebody adds, an extra method like an embroidered cap or vinyl on a cap or a new location, then you're going to take that and you're going to add that also to the offerings that you make. So you're going to offer different blanks, offer different methods if you can, offer different locations, offer different fills and colors, and as you go along, you're going to end up in the end with maybe 5 or 6 general categories of product that people buy on a regular basis and are willing to spend money for. And in the end, you'll be able to go, hey, like Mark said, I know you just want t-shirts, but take a look at these 6 other awesome combinations of stuff that we've done recently for other customers.
Yeah.
Do you like any of these? In other words, you've never tried Chunky before. Take a look at some Chunky and see what you think.
Yeah. Right? And also remember that it's not, you can ask them the question, plant that seed in their head to say, let's go back to the running group. And this is something I think that is a very practical thing to do, is to say, okay, great. So what, you are the president of the group, or what do you do? Oh, yeah. I run, this portion of it. I do this. Okay. How many members? We have 150 members. Okay. So do you think that, are any of them hat wearers? Like, you have any bald guys?
Right. That how many people are wearing caps when you run with them?
How many people are wearing caps when you run? Do you have guys that want to protect their head? Do you have women that like to keep their hair up in there to keep it out of their face? And that's the way they like to do it, is to wear the hat. And then you got them thinking, is anybody else at this dinner table wanting a different sauce option than me?
Right.
And get them to think about that, because that's when they'll draw the line and say, I should have that option. Because yeah. Although we only talked about the t-shirts and everybody's going to wear the t-shirt, there are probably 25% of people, men and women, that are wearing caps. And maybe that's a good idea. Let me take that you know, to my board.
To the group,
we're
right.
The group. And then you turn around, but you have to remind them that other that not everybody likes the same type of sauce that they do.
I just want to say one more thing. We should probably wrap it up pretty soon because we got a lot going on today. Is that just for the record, neither Mark nor Mark are runners of any kind. It's a completely random example. However, we are both fairly good experts on spaghetti sauce.
and I'm going to be honest. I haven't bought Prego or Ragu. I don't even know. I don't buy that. First of my, I would have many.
You
Italian
buy Paul Newman's vodka sauce,
I'd actually. I don't think Paul. I don't know if Paul Newman's makes a vodka, but I do like the vodka sauce.
Okay.
But I would have many Italian relatives that would be rolling in their graves if they found out that I was buying Prego and Ragu. So I have a cultural just.
That's great.
I have a responsibility
to eat the good stuff.
To make your own.
All right. Well, nobody here, I don't think, is making their own.
Hey, for spaghetti sauce recipes, email hosts at
customapparelstartups.com. All right. So that's what happens when you try to be a little creative at Custom Apparel Startups podcast. You end up with a cooking show. All right. This has been our spaghetti sauce and apparel decorating or custom t-shirts episode. My name's Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila.
And we hope you join us on CASpodcast.com, the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group, and our new CASwebinars.com website as well.
Yeah, that's CASwebinars.com. So that's our latest edition. And thanks for listening.